Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology on Blog Talk Radio. We are three astrologers who get together once a week and take a look at what's going on in the skies and see how that's reflected on the earth and in the lives around us. My name is Mark Waltz. I'm speaking to you from New York City on the shores of the Hudson River, about five floors above the shoreline. Okay. And I'm joined by Ann Ortley.
Hi, I'm Ann Ortley. I'm on the Upper East Side, and I'm five floors above flooding, too. And I'm actually in a non-flood zone unless it's a hurricane level 4. I didn't realize until this week that I live on a hill. How cool is that? So I'm broadcasting from my bright red desk here on the Upper East Side, where I had complete electricity and power the whole flood. So
cool.
Oh, yeah, you did too. You weren't without power.
I did. Yeah, we were not without power. Yeah. I was in a zone that kept power. We have several tall buildings around us that I think made an updraft, and most of the wind stayed somewhere up above us. So it really sort of didn't count for this, you know, a few blocks that I live in. But it did count pretty heavily for people around us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We should be hearing from Heather Roan Robbins. Mm-hmm. She should be calling in. We're not sure just when, but she'll probably be calling in from St. Paul.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we are.
Here we are. With a storm under a belt and another one coming.
Yeah.
Which actually I think will be pretty decent sized because we're having Neptune station this week. And so Neptune is stopped in the sky. And so for the 4 or 5 days ahead of when he stops, which is now through the Sunday is his station. So he amps up his Neptunian energy, which, of course, he is in the sign of the ocean right now. So this is a nor'easter coming in off the ocean.
Hmm? He's sitting right at the door of that sign.
Right at the door of that sign, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's just hanging out in the doorway and saying, what are we going to do with Pisces?
What are we going to do? Yeah. We're going to send you a flood? Are we going to do something else with it?
Yeah.
And he does like water. So, yeah. There's Heather.
Yeah, and there's Heather.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Heather.
Hello, how are you? This is Heather Roan Robbins speaking from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay.
Hi. How was your storm? You didn't have one, right?
We did not have a storm, and for which I am profoundly grateful. But I've been feeling for everybody there, and what a profound example of Mercury-Neptune square.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this week, as Mercury and Neptune both stations square to each other, we're supposed to have another big storm come
indeed.
In.
Yes, indeed.
Yes,
right.
Indeed.
And on the 13th, it squares again, and then again in December.
Yeah.
This is an unusually, I think, unusually opaque Mercury retrograde.
Yeah.
I'm hearing already people are having a really tough time with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought Mercury square Neptune felt like Mercury retrograde, so it's a double
hit. Here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a soggy. So, but I do think,
and soggy feelings and communications.
Yeah. People wanting to cry, and, you know, crying is important. Feel free to cry. You know, if you're feeling like you need to cry, cry. It's deep feeling. Because also Mercury's out of bounds, and Mars is out of bounds. So Mars is stimulating all those Scorpio planets, too, making them feel extra emotional or extra angry maybe sometimes. But it's definitely waking everything up.
It's stirring it all up, and you know, the communication system, you can just feel the glue. I know three different people going into mediation at work this week because of a major misunderstanding last week.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Mediation about their jobs?
Yeah.
What they're saying?
About what happened at their job, you know, and trying to understand each other. And it's like, this is, you know, it's good to bring in a mediator, but don't try to come to any conclusions. Try to understand one another better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because we can go back and understand one another, but we can't really figure out a conclusion at the moment.
Right.
I doubt we're going to even really know the final results of the election until the end of December.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that bad. I mean, yeah. It may be sooner than that, but there'll be suits and countersuits in the meantime.
Yeah.
Because the aspects are so wild right now.
The aspects are wild. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's good for dreaming. It's good for, you know,
creative
writing. If you have any old creative project that you want to get back to, it's a good thing to do right now. Go pull out the art supplies. Pick up a script that you started to write. Write a short story. Just, you know, be careful about that boundary between reality and fiction.
It's very porous right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
How has your week been for the two of you?
Mine was good. I gave a lot of showers to people. You know, I used up. I have a lot of clean towels now that are now off getting cleaned. I was a way station, and I actually had homeless people sleeping in my house. So, I did Good Samaritan in the shelter world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was good. I had a good time, and I mean, I didn't have any real problems. So, but I do have some friends who lost major stuff in their lives. And that's very hard. And, you know, watching the news, the people that are just like, I want to go home, but I don't have a home, you know, and I'm just like crying away with them. It's one of those really very empathetic energy in the sky, too. I think we're much more porous than normal with these energies, meaning we're going to pick up other stuff, other people's stuff pretty quickly. So that's also something to keep in mind.
It is indeed. And, you know, the intuition, I've noticed that tremendously, that people are soaking up the collective psychic field is really seeping into all of our worlds.
Mm-hmm.
When people are acting strange, like, I don't know why I'm so depressed, or I don't know how many people said, I couldn't sleep that night.
Yeah.
He said, well, it was a storm was hitting the East Coast. You may have felt calm, but the collective was cooking.
Right.
You know, or, you know, I don't know why I'm so sad. Well, there are thousands of people without a home tonight. Do you think maybe you're feeling some of that? Mm-hmm. Why, that's what I'm feeling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really soaking up in, you know, in people that are here in the Midwest and aren't even following the news.
Right.
They're feeling it. We are not separate. We are connected. And that is so strong.
Yeah. There is a profound interconnection with each of us, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Another big thing that this megastorm brought up for everyone on the East Coast is this whole issue of infrastructure again. And it hit on the level of individual homes. And also the whole city and the whole county, and you know, because, well, for one thing, a lot of infrastructure has to be rebuilt, but for another, it has to be rethought, because we're starting to see a pattern now of mega storms coming in. So, you know, the whole notion, like there was a retaining wall built by the East River that was supposed to protect one of the Con Ed plants and the substation, actually. And when that substation got drowned out by the East River coming up higher than, you know, way higher than anyone expected, so it went over the wall and it drowned that substation, that's what blacked out about half of the area that blacked out downtown. And, you know, that all this goes to infrastructure, and so now there's a lot of talk of, you know, why do we always put, you know, critical services in the basement? Well, that's, you know, that's a real estate thing, you know, because it's lower rent in the basement. But obviously it's not the smartest choice if you're going to start having floods and, or if you have earthquakes, or, you know, there are a lot of things that can affect
the basement, right?
The subground level, you know. So all of these are big questions, and the Uranus-Pluto square, and then Saturn poking his nose into it brings up all these questions very, very strongly. And there is in it an opportunity. And, you know, I don't know to what extent we'll be smart enough to really seize that opportunity, but to redefine building codes, redefine practices and protocols, and actually, you know, build things differently. And a lot of that involves a lot of expense, but in some ways we have to go to the expense anyway now. So, but rather than rebuild exactly like we did, this is the opportunity to maybe spend a few more bucks, but, you know, make some changes. So we'll see. They have to be made rather quickly, though, or else we'll just rebuild what we had.
Yeah, we'll rebuild and go underwater again. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if we build things exactly the way they were, then all we need is another storm exactly like this one, and guess what?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to see how smart we are.
Right.
You know, and that's I think the world needs to watch the whole metaphor of New York City, because I think New York City is acting out the major transits for the rest
mm-hmm.
of us.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Saturn-Uranus quincunx this week, and one of the aspects it talks about is looking at our infrastructure.
Exactly.
Is it your bones and your teeth and your tendons?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the, you know, your root chakra issues? Is it the basements of your city
mm-hmm.
and the wires that go underneath the city?
Right.
Very powerful.
Yeah, and with the quincunx, it makes it not easy to figure out what to do about it. So there's a lot of irritation, a lot of agitation over it, but it doesn't come with clear solutions.
Right.
So in some ways, we have to look this week, you know, not to the solutions, but maybe
to the irritation.
Study all the agita.
Right.
Yeah, study the irritation and say, okay, let's try to build a list, a wish list out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then work with it, you know, when we're not under the quincunx.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which we won't be forever, because Saturn will move on and
right. Move
out of that.
But it also speaks to the, you know, part two, too, because the thing I noticed, I did the chart for in class tonight with my advanced students, of the landfall when she hit Atlantic City, when Sandy the storm arrived, and it's Jupiter and Gemini. You know, this week we have Mercury Neptune, and they're forecasting another nor'easter, and I don't think they're making a whole lot of noise about it right now because the election is tomorrow, but I think it's going to be a pretty decent-sized second storm because of the station of Neptune square to Mercury.
Yeah.
Kind of a 1-2 punch, and the rising sign, of course, is Gemini, and Jupiter's in Gemini in its fall. You know, there's all this stuff that kind of is like, I think this next storm is going to be pretty decent size too. So it begs the other question of, well, if we're going to be working with this energy, you know, and it's kind of coming and first knocking down the houses, which was the station of Ceres, and then the sea comes back and reclaims things. People were talking about looking to other people that have figured this out, and I do think climate change will become part of the conversation because, you know, you just can't keep having these things and not go, okay, why now? What is different than what we've had before?
And what do we do about it?
Yeah, and what do we do about it? So it's also part of that whole conversation, and, you know, I'm kind of like, okay, you know, if you're going to be running into these things, we have to do some serious rethinking. And, of course, we haven't had a big one. The last one was September 19th, 1938. That was a huge storm, wiped out bunches of people, killed a lot of people, too. But that was the really last big superstorm that came through kind of out of the blue on, you know, in Long Island area.
I used to live in Rhode Island, and that that storm went right up the bay and took out about a third of the state.
Yes.
And all the trees facing south had been demolished.
Right.
And families had stories of, you know, holding on to the piping on the second floor and bobbing up and down together in the water all night long.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it hit at the full moon and the high tide.
Hit at the full moon and the high tide.
Coming in,
right. And it also
won't be hitting at the full moon.
Yeah, now we have a little more warning because we get to watch the damn things come up the coast with the satellites, but these are not,
And the next
Yeah.
And the next one, this nor'easter won't be hitting at the full moon at the high tide.
Right.
Which is, so
right.
It's going to be soggy, though, in the very soaked soil.
Right, but a lot of the dunes were swept away. I mean, all the dunes on Fire Island are
right.
gone. So all we have to do is have a good high tide, and that water's just going to come rolling back in again. You know.
Well, I'm looking at the chart of New York City and the progressions to New York City.
I know. Aren't they interesting? We did that chart tonight in class,
that's
too. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And the progressive mm-hmm. moon is at two Cancer at the top
mm-hmm,
of the chart,
mm-hmm.
Which gives Uranus, Neptune is trining the progressed moon.
And Ceres is stationing on it.
Yeah, exactly. But the progressed moon is about to move into a square with Uranus mm-hmm. and opposition to Pluto.
Right.
Pluto is hitting the natal sun and the natal IC.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people go through pelvic surgery when Pluto hits the IC.
Yeah.
They go through some kind of fundamental reorganization.
Right.
And, you know, you see that the next 2 years, New York City has got to do some fundamental reorganization.
Because we'd be having a Pluto transit.
You'd be having Pluto on the IC, and it's going to rotary the whole foundation for the city. It's going to, you know, the rewiring of the basement, building levees, you know, designing plugs for the tunnels. Mm-hmm. It's a city with, is it about a mile and a half underneath the city? There's so many layers to New York City. Down
and all below ground, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things that a geologist, a volcanologist I had Thanksgiving with once in Hoboken, were pointing out the city, said you can see the shape of the granite underneath New York City by looking at the shape of the high-rises.
Right.
They can build the high-rises where there is deep granite, where the earth is close to the surface and it's not rock. They can't build so high.
Mm-hmm.
So Greenwich Village and in Harlem don't have the high-rises because there's not the bedrock is not so close to the surface.
They don't have the schist to support it.
Yeah, but there's that rock that allows it to be so well supported, but it's got layers and layers and layers of holes through it right now.
Yes.
With all the infrastructure.
Right, rolling through it, yeah. No, it's very profound.
So it's going to be interesting what Pluto brings to the IC and the sun of New York City.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to be a fascinating transit, and that's next May. It's not that far. Those
mm-hmm.
transits perfect next in 5-6 months. So we got something else mm-hmm. coming that's going to be decent
mm-hmm.
sized in New York too.
And it looks like it's about a year and a half worth
of time
to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it really kicks in next May.
Next May, yeah. That's the first exact. But I think it'll be fascinating. I've kind of like, you know, I've been looking at it from the point of view of what's going to happen, but the low-lying areas really got hammered with this one. And that full moon was right on, the full moon just totally lit up the New York chart. So it was like, okay, we are here. And for those of you who don't know what the New York chart is, we're talking about the consolidation of the five boroughs, which was January 1st, 1898 at midnight. And that's when Brooklyn stopped being its own city and became part of us. And ever since then, they were like, we want to go back to be ourselves again. Leave us alone.
Mm-hmm.
We hate you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really hate us.
Staten Island, too.
Staten Island, too. Yeah. Well, Staten Island got the brunt of it this time. I mean, they really got hammered with
they
their...
They certainly did.
Yeah, with their underwater stuff. So, but I think it's fascinating. Also, we're in the eclipse period now. We're in the approach to the eclipses.
Mm-hmm.
The eclipses are next week. We'll talk about them more next week.
Mm-hmm.
But as we drive up to them, it's kind of like the train coming into the station. You know, the bells go down on the crossing gate, and you see the lights down the track, and you go ding, 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 and you know, it's coming. The train's coming. So the eclipses are coming. This is a full moon total eclipse. It's a new moon total eclipse, solar eclipse, going to wipe the sun out of the sky in Australia. So it's visible in Australia and it's visible in New Zealand and down there where the penguins all hang out in South America.
Mm-hmm.
So watch for that energy too, because this is a very strong, very tight to the node eclipse. It's on the north node, so it will propel you forward. But because it is a Scorpio eclipse with the south node on Algol, there can feel like there's
mm-hmm.
Losing Algol is one of the meaner fixed stars up there in the heavens, and so very often there's a sense of losing one's head when he kind of visits. So just be aware people are going to be extra emotional. I mean, you know, you understand why. It's, you know, you lost your house, it floated out to sea. We also have the presidential elections, which, as Heather mentioned at the beginning of the show, probably are going to take a little while to figure out, just if for no other reason than Mercury stationing at 6 o'clock at night on the day of elections, which is only the second time that's happened in the history of the United States, and the first time was Bush versus Gore in 2000. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at something similar to that, or some similar kind of interesting story about to unfold tomorrow during Election Day. So stay tuned and watch your local channels for astrology in action.
And so is there anybody on the line?
I am looking. There are quite a few people on the line. And are not all of them have their hand raised. So if you want us to call on you, press 1, and we will call on you. But I will pick up one of them. Hello, 760. You're on the line. You there?
Yeah, I am. Wow, how great this is. Today's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yay, happy birthday.
Thanks.
That's
so
a good time to
come in. It's 11/5/65.
Okay.
At 7:55 a.m.
And where?
Upland, California. UPLAND.
Okay. And did you have a question?
Well, since it was my birthday, I was just kind of wondering about the year ahead.
About the year ahead. Okay.
I'm looking for anything that pops out. Or.
And are you still living in Upland?
What
or
an improvement over last year, I tell you.
I live in the desert in the Palm Springs area.
Okay.
Okay.
And you're there now when you're calling in.
Yes.
Okay. Palm Springs, California. So we'll relocate you there for your solar return, and we'll look at the two. All right. So, yeah, it's definitely a much better year than last year.
Yeah. I mean, just by scanning your transits, I can see that last year looks like it was a bit of a doozy. And, you know, last year and the year before, your Aries moon took so many. The Pluto and Uranus were still talking to your moon last year and the year before. So this year really begins to create your world. Saturn's going into your 12th house. We've got a couple of years now of reviewing the interior world and focusing on clearing up and healing some of the past, consolidating, doing some work on the inside and behind the scenes to sort of reorganize the major components in your life. In about 2.5 years, that Saturn comes across into the first house, and you're bringing a new body of work out for the public. But you've got, and you're also, your progressed moon is about 3 months away from the a progressed lunar new moon. So your life, you're just really in a finishing of so many cycles in your life. In about 3 months, one new cycle begins, and then in 2.5 years, another new cycle begins. So you're just getting started on the next phase of your life, and that can be truly wonderful. Let yourself take the next few months, though, to really come back to yourself and come within and, you know, compost the past heal the present so you can get started on the future. And what are you seeing in the solar cage?
I think that the focus is a Scorpio. It's always about doing the interior work. So this year with Sun in the sixth in your solar return, a lot of stuff around health and how the mind-body kind of creates a story there. Sun rules your fourth house, so it's time to do some deep-sea driving in your early childhood stuff. And with the moon in Cancer for your birthday, your solar return birthday was actually yesterday, at 5:14 p.m. Sunday, when the sun returned to 1301. So, we find it's a very, very big focus on interior work. And with the south node angular in the solar return, you're focusing on releasing things, back to Heather's point about being at the end of a phase. So there's a really big cycle. But you're also going to have a Mars return in a day or two because your Mars is in Sag. So that's kind of a powerful energy that's going to come zooming right in behind the energy of the releasing. So it's kind of like, say, okay, release on one hand, new things shows up. Release on one hand, new things shows up. And you got a moon in Aries, so your chart is anxious to move forward quickly as opposed to waiting around slowly for things to happen. But the Mars return happens right behind your solar return. And you also have a Mercury return right behind that. So your whole chart's kind of lit up. And with Mercury on the south node in your chart, this is a very intense communicator, very good at communicating. And with the trine to the moon gives you real depth and ability to see things and say things, sometimes not always that people appreciate, but it doesn't mean you're wrong. You tell the truth. It's a truth speaker chart. So this year it's about understanding that role of being the truth speaker and how that serves you or doesn't serve you. And with Neptune high, I think it's more listening to your inner, because Neptune is high in the solar return chart. It gives you a story about wanting to listen to the inner guidance. And you've got that grand trine in water that we're all living with now in the form of the storm. You have it in your chart all year. So your sensitivity is going to kind of be off the charts this year, which is good and bad, because you are a sensitive soul anyway. But that Uranus-Pluto high in your chart at 18, kind of acts as a beacon for kind of routing out people that aren't telling the truth or aren't dealing cleanly, maybe a better way to say it. So it's a very powerful chart, actually, and a big year for you this year. So, I think it's a huge year for revelation and a huge year for healing some of the old childhood stories, especially around being an orphan or not being appreciated in the way you might have liked when you were a child.
It leads up to some responsibility things, too. Saturn comes to the sun and also trines the natal Saturn. So you're going to have a chance to restructure some things and take on some more things. You'll feel a certain kind of strength and, in a way, a certain wisdom, and go ahead and use that.
Well, health, I just had this appendectomy thing that got infected and was terrible, and it's really knocked my socks off. Is that clearing up?
Oh, honey.
That's the health. You got the health focus this year with the Sun, Saturn, and the sixth, right? So, yes, but it's also tied to, part of what happens with your chart is you tend to drive yourself a little bit, maybe harder than you should.
Yes.
And that's the universe's way of getting you to sit down. I would be careful of recurrent infections. Just kind of monitor it and make sure you're feeling good and kind of sit on it aggressively. Just with your chart in general, because of the Sun Neptune, you are prone to have things show up in your body as a way of getting your attention.
You'll feel better after the next 3 months when your energy begins to pick up and you pass the progressed lunar new moon, and even better in 3 years. So the next 2.5 years, as Saturn goes through your second house, you're working on all of your health regimens to really put yourself first and take care of your health rather than take it for granted.
Yeah.
But I think you'll be better.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're going to have to go now because we've run out of time.
The British lady speaking in our ears. All right. So happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Have a wonderful time.
Yeah. And forward you go. It's Ann Orley signing off from the Upper East Side.
And this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from Minnesota. And
Mark Waltz over on the west side of Manhattan. Access Astrology, the three of us, say thanks for tuning in. And be sure to call in with your questions, or you can send us an email.
And write them.
And, you can write in your questions and give us your birth data when you do. And we'll be happy to take a look.
Yeah.
All right.
And happy birthday to all the people that are born.
Safe and wonderful week.
Wonderful week. You're all having a great year. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now.